Doom Patrol, Negative Man, Elastigirl, Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Calder. Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, and welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's greatest Doom Patrol-related podcast, where each episode we talk long and loud all about our favorite superhero team, the mighty Doom Patrol.
Hi, I'm Paul. You can reach me at reading _ Hicks. Oh, wait. That's not right.
You're not right, Paul.
No. It's all, you've been fooled. You've all been misled. It's Riff joining Mike this week on the podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Rift1821. You can find the Waiting for Doom on Twitter at WFDpod. And you can reach us on via email at waitingfordoom@gmail.com, on Facebook. There's also a fantastic website you can check out, done by our fellow Doom bro, Doug, at mygreatestadventure80.blogspot.com. And all our episodes are available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podbean.com.
That's right. Thank you for joining us this week, Rifty. Mr. Hicks is unwell, quite unwell, from what I've heard.
Yeah, he's been hit down with the dreaded man flu.
Flanger down.
And out. He actually caught it from his male son, so you always know that it mutates from male generation to male generation. Right. So it's quite dangerous. He is a rather elderly gentleman, so his immune system mightn't be as up to scratch as it should be.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Mrs. Hicks is all over it.
Yep.
And him maybe as well. But we'll leave that for another time. That's another show completely.
Anyway, I'm Mike, and you can find me on Twitter at AvantGarve. And as James said, yes, we have our sentient show account, Wilfred, who is at WFDpod.
Hello, humans.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by Comicosity.com, the world's greatest website for all the comic book love.
Yes, yes. And this week on Comicosity, they've got a lovely little article just announcing the upcoming changes to the Justice League title starting in June 6th with an all-new lineup. Looks very interesting. I will say they've timed this perfectly because I was just talking to Paul the other day about maybe cutting back my pull list. Thinking okay. Justice League might be one that I drop. But then all of a sudden, whoop, they've changed the lineup. So, yes, timed that miraculously to keep sucking my money out of me quite well. That was fantastically timed. Well done.
So they're going for they've been aiming for the Rifty demographic. We can't lose him.
Yeah, I know. Linchpin niche market, that's all I can say. Very important stuff to have me buying your comics. We creators out there, keep that in mind.
Excellent. So anyway, Rifty, what's been going on in your world in terms of comics and cool stuff?
Well. So I do have an ongoing comic subscription. I've got a pull list, as you cool comic book people refer to it as. All very new to this caper since Paul started hijacking my lounge room to record this podcast a couple of years ago now. So I get my, because we live in a small town away from any major city, I get my pull list sent to me. It's usually about every fortnight. Package comes in the mail with the comics in it.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I've managed to get through all those titles, which is really, really good. But nice. So Batman is just going from strength to strength. The Tom King Batman.
Oh, yep.
It's really good. Each issue just keeps getting better. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed being a complete bat noob, as I've called myself. I've never had a Batman comic title before.
Okay.
But coming into this title with people like Kite Man popping up and being kind of important, that was really cool. I was like, wow. Really interesting. But this current thread, spoilers if you are not up to date with the Tom King Batman, but the whole Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle being engaged sequence at the moment, I'm thoroughly enjoying that. That is a lot of fun. The issue where they go on a double date with Superman and Lois Lane is fantastic.
Now, I'm not reading that series, but I'm intrigued by this latest development with the whole engagement that. But I really have to wonder, is it something that will stick after the inevitable next DC reboot?
Oh, you mean like when a company called Retcon comes in and changes everything?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Because, I mean,
like that.
We had Damian Wayne turn up a few years ago now, and he's stuck around. So, you know, there's that whole father-son thing there. I'm wondering whether or not this whole marriage to Selina Kyle thing will actually stick.
Well, I'm enjoying it now as it's going along. I hope it does, because I think it adds a really cool element to the storytelling, allows them to do a lot of new things. But, if they do end up saying, oh, wait, no, that was just all a terrible idea and undoing it, well, you can only sort of make do with what you've got, I suppose. But I did like they go to see I'm going to get the name wrong. Damien's mother, Talia.
Oh, yes. Talia al Ghul, yes.
Yeah. They go and see her, and it was to help Catwoman. They're trying to locate the girl that Catwoman's covering for, that in this arc Catwoman isn't actually a bad guy. She's taken the fall for another girl who's responsible for a large amount of murders.
Right.
And she's hiding out with Talia. But at the same time, it's kind of like Bruce also saying, this is my new chick and you guys should like get along and stuff.
Right.
And it just turned into like a big Howzo cat fight. It's fantastic. It's really good.
You might need to explain what a Howzo is for some of our...
Oh, what a Howzo... Australian term. I'm sorry. So, Howzo is a very derogatory term for somebody who is of a low socioeconomic background, who really doesn't have any motivation or drive to improve their status or well-being. They just collect benefits and then whinge that the benefits aren't enough, but then also don't do anything to try to improve upon that.
Yes.
So, there we go. Welcome. Add that Aussie victory 101.
Welcome to Waiting for Doom, entertaining and educational.
Educational, I know. Well, I feel the SATs will be exploding with Howzo in SAT exams in America from now on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. What else have you been catching up on?
Justice League came out on Blu-ray, DVD
this
week. So I was gifted that by my family for my birthday the other day, which was fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, I sat down and rewatched that with a microscope and yep.
Right.
So Steppenwolf, hey? Wow. It's a bit of a shame. No, I feel much more positive about the line of DC movies where they're going to now. I also am somewhat hypocritical in that I would have liked to have seen the progression to the dark side story, like it was sort of supposed to go along, and it's sort of taken a bit of a right-hand turn. It's like, well, we're not ready for this yet. I don't know if they're going to make us wait 10 years like Marvel did, hopefully not.
No.
But we'll see where it goes. But, I mean, who doesn't love Happy Superman? Everyone loves Happy Superman.
Even if he has a spooky upper lip.
Wasn't that just unfortunate?
It really was crazy.
But in this day and age, you've got a scheduling conflict issue about a mustache.
Yeah. Of all the stuff that could possibly go wrong on a film, a mustache is
brings
the most notable one. Yeah.
Did you see the clip where I think it was a YouTube video where some bloke in his basement with just Photoshop had done a better job at redoing it than Warner Brothers? Wouldn't you just feel embarrassed doing the special effects of that movie?
Yep.
Some dude with Photoshop just outdoes you. You're like, oh, thanks for that, bud. That's fantastic. Maybe they could pull him in for the special Schneider cut that doesn't actually exist that everybody wants. They could just get the bloke in the basement to make it for them.
The Schneider basement cut, yes. Well, I'm glad you had an excellent birthday. Did you get any other cool stuff?
That's always worth a mention.
Okay.
That's always a fun movie. That New Zealander accent from the director is just right on the money, isn't it?
Yep. That's good fun. Yeah.
I'd really like to know how well it translated to international audiences, as if they found it as funny as we did. But I loved it. I thought that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've rambled on enough. Let's move along. So, Mike, what was your week in comics like this week?
It's a bit quiet. I'm at this weird stage where I'm buying stuff but not actually getting around to reading it yet, because I'm still in the mad throes of moving into my new home. And I've got boxes of stuff still to unpack and stuff I have to find homes for somewhere. I have a lot of stuff, apparently.
Did you do the moving cull? Did that get happening?
Yes, I did. I did cull stuff, and I still have stuff. And I think maybe buying more stuff is not helping. So I acknowledge
accumulation of stuff.
Yeah, I know. I acknowledge there's a problem. It's just how to fix it. So I've been picking up my beloved Detective Comics series. I've got a stack of those to read, including some old issues from like the 80s and the 70s. I've continued on my path to Flangadom by buying more trades.
I saw that post, yes.
Yes, oh, so I've...
The converted. Uh-oh.
Yes. Well, not for everything, but for when it makes sense, you know? So
True.
I've got in my never-ending to-read pile, Justice League vs. Suicide Squad trade.
I really enjoyed that. That was fun.
Justice League of America Volume 2, Curse of the King Butcher, because I really like what Steve Orlando has done with that team, and I was a bit sad to read that they're coming to an end.
So, yes, yeah.
With all the Justice League shenanigans going on, and I got Volume 2 of Mother Panic, because I'm a big Violet Page fan, and I really enjoyed Volume 1. So maybe this weekend I will get round to reading some/any of my comic file. I mean, I've read Milk Wars, which we're going to talk about in this episode, but...
Sweet.
And I'm glad I read that, otherwise it would be a very awkward episode. But, in the way of other cool geeky stuff, I've bought the Justice League Blu-ray, so I'm yet to watch it, though. It's this weird cycle of going to work, coming home, trying to unpack more stuff, trying to do enjoyable stuff, and not getting very far in any of it.
That disposable leisure time is something that's very hard to grab every now and again. Very difficult.
Yes. And now that I have two children in my life, I finally understand why some/certain parents read in the bathroom.
I finally understand.
I'm not saying I've walked that dark path yet. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I see the appeal of it.
Oh, Paul is crying at home right now. You understand that, don't you? The clouds have opened. The heavenly light's coming down with a big... Mike now gets it by hiding in the toilet. It's very appropriate.
Yep. So, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying I understand. Anyway.
Further updates about that.
Oh, no, let's not. Oh, look, is that the Doom clock I see behind you there, James?
I believe it is. It's ticking rather loudly.
Thank God. Let's go check it out. So, yes, as we look upon the face of the mighty Doom clock, we can see that it's been 3 weeks since we saw the Patrol in a comic book, and that was Doom Patrol / Justice League of America number 1, otherwise known as Part 5 of Milk Wars, which we will be discussing in this very episode. So I won't say any more about that for now. Issue 11 of Doom Patrol Volume 6 is due at this stage.
At this stage? Very at this poignant. Stage.
Now it's due at this stage on April 11th of 2018, which has been pushed back from its, I think it was March 28th at one stage. Yep. So it's still another 3 weeks away.
It is a real shame about that timing issue. We'll discuss it later at the end of Doomsplaining.
Yes, I think you and I are on the same page about that particular issue.
It is a shame.
But anyway, speaking of Volume 6, this week in Doom Patrol history, with thanks to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, going on sale for $3.99 American on March 22nd of 2017, with the cover date of May of that year, was issue 5 of Doom Patrol Volume 6. Jared Way, Nick Darrington, Tamara Bonvillain, and Todd Klein gave us part 5 of the Brick by Brick arc titled Let's Go Fast. And boy, was that issue jam-packed. We saw Larry Trainer merging with Keeg. We saw Lotion the Cat eating the Wonder Food shit and transforming Wareputty style. We saw magic massages. We saw Danny Land in flames, a huge fight against Torminox and the Vectra. And we got the classic line, I'm Casey Brink and I drive the motherfucking ambulance.
Good times. Good times.
That was a blast. And that was only issue 5. And I here know. We are a year later. And we've just got issue 10.
Yes. Mm.
Yes. Oh, the timing of this volume. Anyway, so we covered issue 5 way back in episode 89 from March of 2017. And we're now recording episode 119. Good golly. So that came out March of 2017, so you can go and check out episode 89 for lots more details and fun on that issue. And that is it for the Doom Clock this week.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Working together, we saved the planet. And I believe that if we stayed together as a team, we would be a force that could truly work for the ideals of peace and justice.
Every episode.
My name is Jean. I'm a Martian.
Every adventure.
Okay, you guys are so slow.
Every hero.
Whatever you think you're doing, if you present a threat to the world, the Justice League will take you down.
Cindy and Chris Franklin bring you
JLU Cast.
Whatever the future holds, we'll make those choices ourselves.
Don't say you don't love me.
I'll never say that.
Covering the complete animated run of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited.
And the adventure continues.
There's strength in numbers.
What? Like a bunch of super friends?
More like a Justice League.
All right, this week on Waiting for Doom, we are looking at Milk Wars Part 5, the conclusion to this little series, which has been quite a trip, hasn't it, Mike? Good Lord.
Yes.
So it's been written by Steve Orlando and Gerard Way, with art by Dale Eaglesham and Nick Darrington, with colours by Tamara Bonvillain and Marissa Louise. Now, I apologise if I murder people's names. It's just a pastime talent of mine. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be Eagles Ham or Eagle Sham.
I read it as Eaglesham.
Eaglesham, like Petersham?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll try not to poke fun at the people that drawing the comics that we love so much. I'm sorry about that. We'll move on. So if you could please take us away, Mike.
Okay, so Doom Patrol, Justice League of America, number one, or part 5 of Milk Wars. So just to recap, when we last saw the patrol in part 1 of Milk Wars, which we covered in episode 117 back in February of this year, they had to endure an initial hero fight with the sanitized Justice League of America, otherwise known as the Community League of Rhode Island. The patrol managed to avoid a repeat of Codsville and got the League on side, cluing them into the fact that Retcon Industries was homogenizing and sanitizing Earth through the use of their special milk, so as to make it easier to market our world to potential buyers. Just to keep things weird, Casey realized that the cheesy Superman clone, Milkman Man, was born of nothing and is most likely her and Terry Nunn's son. And then Cave Carson's cybernetic eye turned up, teleported the two teams to join him and Swamp Thing at the home office of Retcon. Got all that?
I'm with you, Mike. That was just one issue.
That was just one issue. But meanwhile, over the course of the Milk Wars, the effects of the milk began to spread elsewhere. So in Gotham, Mother Panic had to deal with Father Bruce Wayne and his holy sidekick choir of merciful justice. Shade the Changing Girl became Shade Force, somewhat akin to the Lantern's emotional spectrum, as she tried to help keep Wonder Wife happy in the Hall of Moms. Meanwhile, in the Retcon building, Cave Carson and Swamp Thing discovered and destroyed the source of the milk before Cave surrendered himself to a horde of monsters, allowing his companions to escape. Which brings us to the start of the fifth and final chapter of Milk Wars here in Doom Patrol / Justice League of America, which opens with a nightmarish passion play as Rita Farr is being prepared for her crucifixion in some otherworldly dimension. While in the Retcon offices, Milkman Man interrogates Cave Carson, torturing him with blasts of his heat vision. Just as Milkman Man, God, that's hard to say, demands to know what happens to Cave's missing cybernetic eye, the eye itself reappears, teleporting into the room all the heroes of this crazy crossover. The Doom Patrol, the JLA, Shade herself, Wonder Woman, and Batman. Just as the heroes attempt to subdue Milkman Man, he's joined by warriors of the Retcon brand, those being mutated bovine shock soldiers.
Aren't they fantastic?
Killer cows.
Aren't they great? As soon as I saw them, and also when they appeared in issue one, all I could think of... Could you remember that song that came out, like, it was in 96, I looked it up, Cows with Guns?
I do remember that song. I had that in my head as well.
As soon as I saw it, I went, yes, finally, cows with guns. That's what we need.
So the ferocity of the fight causes the building walls to shake all the way up to the upper floors of the Retcon building, where the lackeys of the disappointment continue to haggle with Manga Khan over the sale of the homogenized Prime Earth. In desperation, a new counteroffer is proposed. If Khan helps sanitize... in other words, take care of the heroes, Retcon will consider Earth Prime paid in full. So Manga Khan goes off to call his client to discuss this proposal. And as this happens, we're taken back downstairs to the ongoing fight as mutant bovine warriors tussle with the heroes. And it's at this point Casey Brink confronts her son, Milkman Man, and gets him to realize the truth, that he's been manipulated by Retcon for their own selfish purposes, and that she loves and accepts him regardless. Because that's what mums do.
She's a good mum, Casey.
She's a good mum. She's a very young dad, mum.
As she comments.
Well, yes, she could be the dad or the mum. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
However, the fight has now broken through to the upper floors, and Manga Khan decides at this point to decline the sale altogether and teleports away just as the heroes burst through the walls. Frustrated and backed into a corner, the Retcon employees unleash their ultimate failsafe, the final refresh button on reality. So as reality begins to literally burn away into nothing, Batman comes up with a plan to combat the impossible absurdity of the situation by fighting mystery with mystery, the muscle mystery, that is, of Flex Mentallo. Flex agrees to try the dangerous power of inflation intensity, whilst Vixen's Tantu totem will keep everyone together, and Jane's Scarlet Harlot persona will focus the psychosexual energy of inflation, meaning that somehow they should all survive the experience and somehow restart reality. Right.
I'm not sure if you could say that that's exactly comic book science, but it's comic book something.
Yeah, it's comic book science adjacent. It's very close. It's comic book STEM somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, very true.
So as our heroes start expanding into the shape of blimps, elsewhere, Rita recalls a memory of being able to shrink or expand at will. And so she gathers her consciousness, her spirit stretching and escaping her mortal frame upon the crucifix. Realizing she's one with everything in the cosmos, she reforms her physical body and climbs through the pages of the comic to join the patrol and the JLA out the front of the Happy Harbor HQ. Yes. So while it seems that retcon has been defeated and reality has been saved, we learn some of our heroes have undergone changes. Mother Panic is back in Gotham, but the city feels different to her. Cave Carson and his team are now in outer space. Shade has grown from a girl to a woman. Rita is back in reality.
Yay!
Casey, hooray! Casey has fleeting, fuzzy memories of possibly having a child. And Cliff Steele is now back in human form. As the heroes put together the puzzle pieces of their fuzzy memories about the weird day that they've just had, Rita sums it up best, saying that the final battle they had in those heavenly headquarters was the last stand of sameness, and that strangeness is still standing. And that was Milk Wars. So what did you think of this? What did you think of Milk Wars overall and this issue in particular, Rifty?
I really enjoyed the series of Milk Wars. I thought it was a great, fantastic little tale, incorporating all of the headrunners for the Young Animal series. I think it was great for them to pull them all in and give them a part and a role to play in where they're going to take these titles in the future and that sort of stuff. I thought that was really fantastic. I love Cliff Steele, Robot Man. Man who is a robot, but not anymore. That's that's great. I like that. Poor old bastard, though. He's old.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Rita's redoing reality, from what I can tell, and she made him an old man.
Yeah.
Bit of a shame for Cliff. He gets his human body back, and he's old. He's
older. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit different.
Bit of a shame. But so as we were going through the crossover issues, it became apparent earlier on in the Doom Patrol titles, back in issue 9 and 10, where the disappointment was meeting with retcon about trying to get his wife, Starlene, who they figured in an alternate reality was actually played by Rita Farr, so they think, cool, we'll just nab Rita Farr from an alternate reality, reboot this one, and Bob's your uncle, Rita Farr's your wife. That's a fantastic plan. So I could kind of pick up on the issues leading up to Milk Wars that this was a big machine to bring Rita back into the fold, which is fantastic. And I must say, I find it really refreshing for creators to come up with a big elaborate storyline to explain how a character that no longer exists in this continuity can all of a sudden just be back.
Yeah.
And rather than just focusing on the fact that, you know, it's a big elaborate story that doesn't really necessarily make sense, or the iconically used over and over again, you never actually saw his body, so you don't know if they're dead line. And they've just implemented this bad guy of a company called Retcon.
Yeah.
So they're just throwing it at you that, yep, no, we're just retconning this.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels, you don't feel abused. You don't feel like they're giving you some, you know, some bullshit line to try and swallow. You're like, no, they're retconning this. I get it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that fresh approach to just owning that we're just going to remake the sandbox a little bit here. This is good. And then so we find out that Magna Khan is actually working for Mr. Nebula, which was, you know, a bit of a surprise. He's got to give a call to the boss about whether he can go through with the deal or not. I thought that was a lovely little, I thought the writing for that part was fantastic. It was really good. Not having read a comic with Mr. Nebula in it before, I did a bit of Googling just to look him up. So He's. Do you know much about Mr. Nebula at all, Mike?
No, you're one step ahead of me in that I should have done some research, but was reading them very late at night, and I was like, yep, yeah, okay, no, he's knowing the way that Steve Orlando loves his DC history. I'm assuming that Mr. Nebula has appeared previously in the DC.
Yes. So he was created by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen, who also came up with Manga Khan as well. Now, not that I know from any great exposure to these characters or anything like that. It's merely just typing it in Google and seeing what it spits out at me. Mr. Nebula is just an absolute piss take on Galactus. So he's I'll just get the term. He's a planetary decorator. Is that what they?
I think that's what he said. Yeah,
interplanetary designer. Yeah,
he did make a comment that he's a decorator and not a fighter, and that's why he told Khan to, you know, pull up stumps and get out of the deal.
Yeah, interplanetary designer is his right. is his title. Which is a rather fabulous title, if I do say so myself. So his real name is Curtain Rod, or said a little bit slower, Curtain Rod.
Which is
a fantastic, fantastic little gag. I thought that was fantastic.
Right.
He had a herald as well as Galactus did with the Silver Surfer. He's got the Scarlet Skier.
Right. See, I should have looked it up because what he was saying in this issue makes more sense now. Right.
Yeah, it was he'd send out his herald to try and find other planets for him to redesign.
Right.
So yeah, they really are taking the piss at Galactus with this one. but a funny little fact, fun facts, everyone loves fun facts. When you look up the Scarlet Skier, his real name is, are you ready, Mike?
Yeah.
His real name is Dren Keeg.
Oh.
Now, I don't think that means anything, but I thought it was a funny little tidbit that I found all by myself, and I wanted to present how smart I was by typing stuff into Google.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. You've
outshined us all.
Well, yeah. You know, inconsequential tidbits of information. I'm your man. But yeah, I thought that was cool, Keeg. I thought that was a nice little tie-in back to this volume of Doom Patrol, with Keeg being the negative being that's inside Larry Traynor in this volume, which is cool to give him, to actually make him a character, as I know you and Paul have discussed previously. Yep. It's really cool to have him have his own personality and traits. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Anything else from you, Mike, about...
Overall, I enjoyed Milk Wars for the most part.
Yep.
I thought it started really strong. I thought it was interesting. I don't think it stuck the landing, though.
Yeah.
I think it focused a bit more on the message that we've had, especially from Doom Patrol comics in the past, where being different is good and being different is perfectly normal and fine. And we should fight against sameness. That's something that the Patrol, it's basically their mantra across multiple editions, except for Burn, and we won't go there. I think not all of the issues really paid off for me in Milk Wars itself, and I don't know whether that's because I'm not reading all the other Young Animal titles. Like, I really enjoyed the Batman Mother Panic one.
Yes.
But then again, I'm reading Mother Panic. The Shade, The Changing Girl, and Wonder Wife one, I didn't quite enjoy. And I don't know whether that's because I'm not reading that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one wasn't too great for me. But so overall, I thought the series was interesting. But I think one of the big issues as well was the fact that, as we hinted at earlier, was that issue 11 is still not out.
And, isn't that a shame?
I mean, we don't know what's happened to the disappointment. We don't know what's happened to Terry Nunn. I mean, they both had kind of important roles in the lead up to this, or you know,
absolutely.
They had enough presence in the story leading up to Milk Wars, and then the last time we saw Terry or any of them was just as the Omni Blank was being born, and yes. we can only assume that the Omni Blank became Milkman Man because he was born of nothing, and the scenes with Terry realizing, not Terry, Casey, sorry, realizing that Milkman Man, God, that's still hard to say. was her son, and you know she might even be the dad. You know, it's all a bit topsy. So that kind of grinds my gears.
Yeah,
and considering that
we've had the whole of Milk Wars has come out, been released, it's done, and the issue leading up to it is still at this stage 3 weeks away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit frustrating. I'd be interested to hear from people that have read all of Milk Wars and maybe aren't reading Doom Patrol. I wonder what. Anyway, and whether they had similar issues with the lead-in or whether it just didn't affect them. It could just be affecting me more because I'm a Patrol fan. Shocker.
Yeah, that's an interesting point as to whether Shay and Mother Panic are behind as well, and there was a bit of a jump leading into it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't think they were behind. I think the Doom Patrol is the only Young Animal book that is way, way, way behind. So, I don't know. But overall, I found it an interesting story. I don't think the ending quite paid off. I mean, I'm thrilled that Rita's back. That was
how good
that was the best bit. And I think this issue in particular, the art was fantastic. As you said, the mutant bovine warriors appearing and fighting the teams was fantastic. I did like the interactions between all the characters. Just how the heroes were sort of interacting. Like I think there was some really nice scenes between the Ray and Robot Man sort of in the middle of the fight. And the Ray helping out Cave Carson with, you know, the suit of armor.
The suit of armor that he saw in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, well, that is where I got it from.
Yeah.
Which to me, I had a note to bring up about that. To me, it looks like Centurion armor of if we were to put a specific cartoon to it. I think that looks like it belongs from the Centurions. Do you remember that cartoon,
Mike? I do remember them.
Yeah.
They were the guys that had, like, different terrain suits.
Yeah.
But you could swap all the bits around. I remember them. Yeah.
Man and Machine, Power Extreme. I've got the catchphrases. They're in there.
Oh, God.
So you had the three of them. There was Ace McCloud. He was the flying dude. And then you had Jake Rockwell, and he was the ground guy.
Uh-huh.
And then, oddly enough, I think the sea bloke's name was Ray Mantenna. Was his name off the top of my head. But yeah, it screamed to me Centurions when I saw it. Yeah, that'd be something for him to bring back. If they could retcon those guys back in. Now we're talking. Now that is fantastic.
Welcome to Waiting for Centurions. I'm Mike.
That's right. But, other things of note from the issue, I really liked the use of the Volume 1 panels for Rita when they were
talking
about her, how in this reality she remembers being an actress that was exposed to the volcanic gases that allowed her to grow and shrink.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic to see those in there. I always love it when people that are running with the ball, the current creators, harken back to, you know, where what they're working on has come from before. You know, they're not necessarily tied to it. They're not held down by it, but it's just nice little touches back. And I find that with this volume of Doom Patrol, they're doing that very well, and they're doing that a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is really nice.
The other thing that made me raise an eyebrow is there's a reference to the whole multiversity event where we see some kid watching TV and having a snack and someone's put their coffee mug down on the map of the multiverse.
Oh, yes, the Sphere of the Gods.
Yeah. Is what
it's called. It's on the cover of the Swamp Thing.
That's Dave it, Carson yeah. Also. Yeah. So it was kind of like, okay, they're referencing that. They're acknowledging, again, you know, something that's come before and the whole concept of multiverses and alternate realities. But it was just that one page. And then it was like, oh. And the kid is sort of saying, you know, who even uses maps anymore, Mum? You know, who cares?
Yeah. And is he watching? Is that the Spectre that's on the telly? Is that...
It might be. It looks like it could be the Spectre. It was a very odd page.
Yeah. It kind of just pops in the middle there, and you're like, where does this come from?
Yeah, but, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. There's smarter people out there that might understand what it's about, Mike, but I miss it. It goes over my head.
I'm sure they'll pitch in it. Their 2 cents worth. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll let us know.
But yeah, overall, I thought it was an interesting story. I don't think it was completely successful, but it was a fun romp. It was nice to see heroes that we've gotten used to, like Batman and Wonder Woman, being completely sanitized to the point of absurdity.
Steve Trevor's a lucky guy, isn't he? Is it said Steve Trevor's a lucky guy, isn't he?
Wonder Wife. I don't know. Yeah. All those baby household appliances that were crying and needed to be fed. That was weird.
I thought I didn't mind too much of the cross. Like, I'm not reading Shay, The Change of Girl, or any of the others either. But I didn't mind those, though, you know, the whole Father Bruce thing. And I just, maybe my mind goes to dark places, but I didn't need a sort of religious take on a guy hanging around a bunch of kids anymore. Like, I'm like, nah, right. Thank you. Yeah, no, gotcha. I don't need that. you know, I enjoyed the Wonder Wife concept. I thought that was really good because it's such an exact thing that Wonder Woman as an entity fights against, and you know, is the symbol of the complete opposite to what they made her in Milk Wars. And I thought that was really good to sort of see that and have her come through it out the other side. I didn't think that was too bad at all, but. Yeah, I don't know where to go with the rest of that.
I think we're agreed that, overall, Milk Wars was entertaining enough.
Yes, exactly.
And it had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it was a fine romp. I will say, I was really happy to see Nick Derrickson's art in the last couple of pages.
Yes, coming at the end.
Of part five. That just seemed to wrap it up really nicely for me because I love that man's art. It's so he can't draw anything badly. It's just I've read complaints that it's a bit cartoony, and I'm like, so that's his style and it looks great.
And I think for the Doom Patrol it fits very well. I was a little hesitant with Rita coming back. I was like, ooh, you know, here I am, I can't even draw a straight line, but criticizing Nick Derrington, but I was like, ooh, can he pull her off being this, you know, she's a movie star, she's a glamorous lady. Can he convey that? I'm excited to see where he goes with that. And to see how Rita fits in with the rest of the team. You know, Casey's talking about at the end there with Wonder Woman that, you know, it's not her team, it's Jane's team. So it'll be interesting to see how the three leading ladies of different volumes of the Doom Patrol coming together, see how they coexist together.
That's a really good point. I hadn't even thought of that. Because we've got Jane and Rita and Casey. Oh wow. Okay. And we've got Old Man Cliff.
Old Man Cliff. He finally gets more chicks on the team and he's an old man.
I don't know how to feel about Old Man Cliff. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm gonna give it a chance. But I miss Robot Man Cliff already. Yeah. It's like that was part of his thing. He was essentially a good guy that was immortal and you know, kind of hated the predicament he was in. But he still did the right thing, and that's always appealed to me. That Cliff's shtick is he's a grumpy old bastard, but he does the right thing. Somehow I can relate to that.
And what you speak, Mike.
Yes, yes. But now it's just like, okay, now he's just an old dude. Where is that going to go? I'm very intrigued to see what happens there.
Maybe you'll get an action chair. That'd be cool. He can be a part of the team that way.
Well, he's got half the facial hair already, so, you know.
Maybe he is Niles.
Oh, you're breaking my tiny little mind.
Ridiculous.
Oh. Wow, that would be bizarre. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Well, have we doom explained that one, Mike?
I think we have. I think, yeah, overall, I'm happy with Milk Wars. Yeah. I think the ending didn't quite get there, but, hey, we got Rita back. Retcon were defeated. You know, things are back to normal.
Bad guys lost. Good guys won.
Yeah.
We got Rita.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the where she's stepping out of the panels and then stepping back into them. I thought that was a really good
demonstration. And when she's shaking the milk off her, that was awesome.
That was a really good way to visually explain what's going on. She's outside of this, and now she's putting herself into it. It was really good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, okay. Thanks, Mike. That was great.
All dooms planned out?
I believe so, yes.
Alrighty. Onwards and upwards. And now it's time for the mailbag of doom. And we're going to start off with the question of the week from a couple of weeks ago now, where we asked, which comic creator would you make exclusive to which comic company? First off, we heard from Kevin, who is going by the handle of New Me High Rack Title this week.
Good job, Kev. Well done.
Good job, yeah. And Kevin said, I'd make all creators exclusive to Image Comics and let them do whatever the hell they wanted. No offense to the big two, but I'm more interested in creator-owned work these days.
Ooh, nice. Controversial.
Mm.
Next, we heard from Martin Gray at Dangerous 2. He said, Mark Waid at DC Comics, where he fits like a brilliant glove. Hashtag bring back the real Impulse.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
Take that, whoever's doing the current Impulse.
Yeah, in your face. At Sean42AZ, or AZ, depending on which country you're from, said, I would make Jonathan Hickman DC exclusive so that he can bring his crazy deep planning and characterization to that universe. A Hickman Wonder Woman line would rule. I have to say, I really like that one.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't know if you read his Secret Wars stuff or his Avengers stuff that led up to Secret Wars.
No.
But...
No.
That was basically the big line in the sand where the previous Marvel Universe ended.
And
brilliant stuff. The whole it sort of started technically back when he was writing Fantastic Four. And it went through all this stuff for years, building and building. Then he did the two Avengers books, and then there was the Infinity event, and then time ran out. It was magnificent stuff, and it's the only recent Marvel stuff that I want to collect completely because I'm missing issues here and there, but the rest of like present day Marvel, I'm like, no, not interested. Hickman stuff, yes, because it's crazy good. Ooh, anyway, sorry, who else did we hear from?
From Tim Price at Tim Price 17. Dan Jurgens, slot for Amalgam. Yep. Bring in the jokes.
Ah, Dan Jurgens and Dan Slott being amalgamized.
I didn't get that at all, Tim. I apologize. But, Mike, to your rescue with that one.
That's all right. That's how we're bros, mate. We look after each other. It's all good.
Thank you.
Craig 101 at Craig R. McD said, Alan Moore at DC. Just kidding. Craig continued, I'm not sure if he's under contract right now, but I dig Peter Tomasi's writing on Superman and Super Sons, so I'd go with him as a writer and Nick Darrington as an artist, both exclusive to DC. Yes, excellent choices.
We don't want Nick going anywhere soon, even though he will.
Nope, not allowed.
Unfortunately, it's yes. No, Peter Tomasi did great stuff with Green Lantern.
Yep.
Green Lantern Corps titles. They were really good. Paul's given me all the trades of those to have a read of. They were really good.
And his work on Batman and Robin as well. Really good run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Awesome stuff.
Cool. All right. Next, we heard from Nick Hollandus at NickRDE on the Twitters. He said, I'd say Tom Taylor on Marvel books, but Injustice is so good, I'll shoot down my own nomination.
Right.
I like an honest man. That's
yes. Yes.
Tom Taylor is very popular at the moment. Very popular. His new Wolverine stuff is all very, very good.
I'm hearing good stuff about that. I'm almost tempted to check it out, but it's current Marvel, and I just can't. Do you, Rifty, have any creator that you would want exclusive somewhere?
Oh, I'm not as deep into this comic stuff as all you nerds.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. But unfortunately, no, I'm not as au fait with a lot of the creators that have done such fantastic work over the years. I'm very excited to get my hands on the new Gabe Hardman Green Lantern.
Yep.
I'm really keen to get a hold of that. I mean, so it'd always be good to have him come across and maybe do a run on Green Lantern too. I'm hearing good things about that book. They're saying it's very good, so I'm excited for that.
I've seen some of the art. Yeah, it's fantastic what I've seen. Yes. Yeah. For me, I'll go writer and artist.
Okay. Splitting it up.
I want Nick Darrington to stay on DC forever. I don't care if he goes on to other DC characters. If he doesn't always do Doom Patrol, I mean, I will be sad. But I want him to stay at DC. Please. Mm-hmm. For writer, I'm going to go a little bit different. And I'm going to go... I would love to see Rick Remender doing DC. Because Rick, he's... He does Black Science. He did... The name of this one's going to escape me, and people are going to give me hell about it, but it's about the Assassination High School set in 1980s America. I know people are going to give me so much grief about this. Bring it on. I'll take it. He did a futuristic sci-fi series called Low, which is about people living in underwater cities trying to, you know, find other colonies after the sun's exploded or whatever.
Oh, wow.
What I really like about Remender's stuff is that he does flawed heroes really well.
Okay.
One of the reasons I love his Black Science series is that the lead character is such a bastard. But as the series progressed, I've actually felt bad for him. And I've learnt a lot about his character. And I would love to see Remender do something like that in the DCU.
Okay.
Just not take him so far, but maybe do an interesting spin on someone we've seen before. Maybe Batman, or maybe like a street level hero. Maybe like Green Arrow or something, and just see what he would bring to that. To see the heroes striving, but you know, beating themselves up because they can't do it perfectly or whatever.
Right.
But anyway, yes, Rick Remender stuff. If you like flawed heroes and really interesting concepts, check his stuff out. And that's who I would like to see writing at DC.
Well, I remember you talking about Black Science way back at the when you guys first started recording the podcast.
Maybe,
the
first
few episodes. And it was very soon after that I attended my first they're in Australia, so you can't really call them comic cons. It was a place where people sell comics.
Yes.
It's not really a comic con. But and I actually picked up the first trade of Black Science. I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
But I did, based on your review and your opinion of that book, I did grab it when I saw it. So I'll be looking forward to checking that one out.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying it out, and I hope you enjoy it. If not, you didn't hear it from me.
Good.
Anyway, moving on with the mailbag, we got an email from our friend Ange, Dr. Ange 70 on the Twitters. And he was talking about our previous episode where we covered the revelation in the Arcudi run as to what happened to Dorothy and Cliff and Kate Godwin.
Yes.
Ange said, it was such a great episode, guys. As someone who dropped the Pollack run before it ended and somehow completely missed the Arcudi run, this one was fascinating. How interesting that Coagula's story got finished in the next run. I wonder, given how personal Kate must have been for her, if Arcudi reached out to Pollack for permission. I'm always intrigued when a cancelled comic has their plots finished in other books. Back in the day, it seemed like Marvel Team-Up or Marvel 2-in-1 was a place where dangling subplots could be wrapped up with either Spidey or the Thing hanging around. Anyway, I'm glad you did the review in the order you did, finishing the Pollack run before showcasing this book. As for the question of the week, I have two answers. The first is I would sign Mark Waid to a DC-only exclusive. Waid just seems to get the core of the DC characters. It's a shame he was forced away from the company like he was. Bring him back. The second answer is I would sign John Michael Straczynski to an exclusive non-comic contract. Keep that bastard away from all books.
Oh, that's great use of Lobo talk there. From
it is.
Passage. I did like that. Well done, Ange. JMS. You look now, again, not being hugely familiar with comic book creators, the only way I knew this bloke was from the Babylon 5 series. Did you watch that at all?
I watched some of it, yes.
I don't know if it hit me at the right age or what, but I love that show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. There's obviously fond childhood memories of watching it with my dad late at night because it was on at some ridiculous hour here in Australia, like midnight or something, I think it would start.
Yeah.
But I loved that whole show, the whole concept, the design, the special effects. I still think the White Star out of that show is the sexiest spaceship ever designed. It is beautiful.
Okay.
But I really liked it. It was probably my first exposure to extended TV writing, to where it was there was a beginning, a middle, and an end. All five seasons told a story all the way from the start to the finish, which I think probably saw a bit of its downfall on television, and that if you missed an episode,
you did
kind of get screwed over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do find the time to watch five seasons of a science fiction TV show, it is thoroughly enjoying it really is
okay.
Good.
Considering you picked up Black Science, the first volume, I owe it to you to give it another try. Because I think I met it through partway of the first series and was like, but this was years ago. Could be different.
Season one is a little slow, I will give you that, but it is definitely laying the groundwork. There are so many things in seasons 3 and 4 that harken back to stuff from season one. You're like, oh, okay, this is why it took so long to get anywhere. I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Continuing on with the mailbag, we also got an email from David Edwards, who said, hello, Mike and Paul. I'm just going to cross it out and put Rifty. Hello, Mike and Rifty. Long time no speak. I hope you're both good and loving these bountiful patrolling times, despite the expected delays and waiting. Oh, how apt the podcast name is and how it works on many levels. I feel like sometimes I'm not keeping up with you guys as I try to avoid spoilers by avoiding Waiting for Doom. It's not a happy situation because I just can't get enough of your comedy and insight into our favorite team. So God damn it hurts. Thanks, I think.
Wow.
Anyway, I wanted to ask a question.
Comedy, that's fantastic.
Well, wasn't what I was aiming for, but thank you. David continues, anyway, I wanted to ask a question and I can't think of anyone better qualified or placed to answer it for me. The question is simply this: can I read Milk Wars without getting spoiled for events that are yet to transpire in Doom Patrol numbers 11 and 12? Is issue 12 even happening? I've been holding out and saving Milk Wars until the conclusion of the current arc, as it seems it would be the logical chronology. But since when is reading the Doom Patrol logical, I guess? I know you have read these issues and can probably give me a reasonable answer to this question. I kind of like holding out on reading as the breaks are so long, but also I just want to dive into the milky goodness. That's it. It's been good to make contact with you guys. The snow over here has provided me with the opportunity to send those emails I hadn't previously had time to send. Get patrolling, David. Oh, and live action Doom Patrol. Okay, first off, we'll get the easy bit out of the way. Oh my god, yes, live action Doom Patrol.
Yes, how good is that?
I know nothing about any of the actors, but they've cast Niles Calder, Rita Farr, Cliff Steele, and Larry Traynor.
I know, the whole patrol. The original the whole patrol. Whole patrol.
Not TV. A sign or mention of Mento. Thank fuck.
Poor Mento. I was going to say that in Milk Wars, you got Rita back, but they left Mento in the dust. They're like,
oh, nah, did they?
You can get homogenized.
How terrible. No Mento. Oh my gosh. Whatever will I do?
Yeah. But that to answer David's. Titans news is huge.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's massive news. It's
massive news. My Twitter feed is very comic central. It's about where I keep all my comic people, keep in touch with those. But the hype that yes. news made, it was like about one episode of a script. Yes. Like it was like season one, episode 5, I think, is when the Doom Patrol is supposed to be in it.
Yep.
There's, you know, hype about Teen Titans live action TV show. Yeah, cool. Everyone thinks it's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. But the amount of hype, the fact that the Doom Patrol were going to be in just one episode, it went. Mm-hmm. My Twitter went crazy.
Yep. Likewise. Yeah.
It just exploded, and I'm like, wow. It's like maybe they look at maybe doing a standalone DC Doom Patrol show.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Yeah, we'll give him a awesome, we'll give him a run though. On Titans and see how they go.
Yeah. But to answer David's other question, for me personally, I think yes. Wait until you can get issue 11 and then maybe sit through and read the whole thing then, because I feel like I'm missing out on information that would have helped me enjoy Milk Wars more. Even if it's just a small part. I just feel like there's something I'm missing.
Yeah. Just, yeah, what happened to Terry and, yeah. and being good to know.
And like,
and I love the fact that Terry Nunn was linked to Mr. Nobody. That was a great little story. How good was that?
but now we don't know what's happened to her.
Yeah, we don't know what's happened to Mr. Nobody.
Birth. Yeah, exactly. So I would say,
young animal, where are we? We're waiting. That's right. That's what we are. We're waiting.
I would say hold out for issue 11. Because the first issue of Milk Wars has the team appearing through a portal, thanks to Danny, chasing a rocket that Retcon launched that had the baby Omniblank in there, sort of harkening back to the Superman-type origin story. So I think hold out a bit longer. You'll probably enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah, and if you can hold out, it'd probably be the best way to go.
Yeah. As for issue 12, I think that's the one that's been put on hiatus till they get caught up again, maybe. I know that they'd cancelled the orders for issue 12. So I think we'll have to wait till issue 11 actually comes out and then see what the next, at this stage, schedule is. Yeah.
There's some catchphrases from this podcast and, you know, comic book science and... At this stage, definitely up there.
Oh, yeah. We're milking them, that's for sure.
Oh, I see what you did there. Boom, tish, well played. Thank you.
Ah, dear. Anyway, I think we should start signing off.
Yes.
We've gone on long enough. So,
rambled enough.
Yeah. But it's been good rambling with you, Rifty. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you for really giving me the opportunity, Paul. By coming down with the dreaded man flu.
Yes.
If there's a zombie apocalypse, we know who to blame.
Yep.
It was Paul.
Yep.
Patient Zero.
Poor old Paul. He's going to love this episode.
I hope he does. Poor old man. It's his birthday soon. That'll be exciting.
It is. Oh, yes.
Big cake for all candles.
Ooh, big. Anyway, next time on the feed, we are... having an episode of DC OCD where I believe we'll be covering Invasion. And then the week after that, we will be going back to Volume 4 to cover issues 7 and 8 from John Byrne.
Nudge and grunt.
hey, that's enough. And we will have a new question of the week, which is, who's your favorite loner comic character? As in single, alone, not a character that gets loaned out. So someone who does their thing by themselves, doesn't have a team.
No team, no friends. Who's your favorite Nigel No Friends comic book character? It's a good question. Paul, if you came up with that one, I'm guessing it's probably Paul.
It is Paul's. Yes. Most of them are Paul's.
Yeah. Well, I'll have an answer for this one this week. That'll be good. I'll know what we're talking about. This will be good.
So as always, if you want to get in touch, you can reach us on Twitter at WFDpod. Say hi to Wilfred while you're there. You can email us at waitingfordoom@gmail.com or get in touch on the Waiting for Doom Facebook page. You can also check out Doug's excellent post on mygradsadventureatct.blogspot.com. And that's us done for this week.
Thanks again, Mike, for having me along. I appreciate putting up with my...
Not a problem. It was lots of fun.
My greenness, my freshness, my rawness.
It's all good. All right, guys. We'll catch you all again next time for more Waiting for Doom.
Doom.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns.